Hello? Hello?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning,
this is Jeff at the CIT.
Good morning.
Everyone is on the line, so with your permission, I'll call the case and get everyone on the record.
Yes, please do. Thank you.
The United States Court of International Trade is now in session. The Honorable Gary S. Kasman presiding before Court Number 18-00055, National Resources Defense Council et al. Versus the United States et al. Will the attorneys please state their names for the record, starting with the plaintiffs?
This is Julia Goodstefani for Plaintiff Natural Resources Defense Council. On the line with
and
me
Sarah,
is my colleague. Go ahead.
Please, Julia. And this is Sarah Yolman for Plaintiff
on the court.
Animal Welfare Institute and the Center for Biological Diversity. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Stephen Ticini with the Department of Justice, and I represent the United States.
Thank you, counsel. I think Mr. Gull has probably advised you all to mute your phones if you're not speaking to minimize the interference. This is Judge Gary Kasman. Depending upon where you are, good morning or good afternoon. We are here to review the stipulation and proposed order of voluntary dismissal under CIT Rule 41A2, this case, Natural Resources Defense Council versus Ross. At the outset, there are a few comments that I would like to make before I invite counsel to make their presentation. Tomorrow, April 22nd, 2020, marks the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, a date that is often remembered as the birth of the modern environmental movement. Today, as humankind is gripped by the deadly coronavirus pandemic, an ever-present brutal reminder of mortality, the court is presented again with a dire plight of the vaquita, the world's smallest porpoise on the verge of extinction. Endemic to the Northern California, to the Northern Gulf of California, in the Sea of Cortez and Mexican waters, this panda of the sea, measuring only about 5 feet long and weighing 100 pounds, has seen its population plummet from 567 in the late 1990s when it was first surveyed to perhaps 15 today. It is undisputed that the vaquita is being caught inadvertently entangled, strangled and drowned in the gill nets, which are fishing nets hung in the water to entangle fish and shrimp. It is undisputed that the primary threat to the vaquita is gill net fishing within the vaquita's range. It is undisputed that the vaquita may soon disappear from the planet forever. In an effort to avert such a catastrophe, the lawsuit in this case was filed. In response to that action brought by plaintiffs, Natural Resources Defense Council, Center for Biological Diversity, and Animal Welfare Institute against the defendants, several United States agencies and officials, collectively referred to as the government, pursuant to the Marine Mammal Protection Act, in July 2018, this court issued a preliminary injunction requiring the government, pending final adjudication of the merits, to ban the importation of all fish and fish products from the four specified Mexican commercial fisheries, shrimp, corvina, Chano, and Sierra, that use gill nets within the vaquita's range, unless affirmatively identified as having been caught with a gear type other than gill nets, or affirmatively identified as having been caught outside the vaquita's range. While the government has fully implemented the preliminary injunction, it has also sought, unsuccessfully, to overturn it. Now, as this case headed for final adjudication before this court, government has changed course and announced an embargo that embraces the one sought by the plaintiffs in their complaint and issued by this court, and indeed expand its reach. Before us, we have now the stipulation and proposed order of voluntary dismissal. I would ask Ms. Goodstefani, on behalf of the plaintiffs, to speak first.
Good afternoon, Your Honor, and may it please the court. Julia Goodstefani, counsel for Plaintiff Natural Resources Defense Counsel. And for completeness of the record, I also like to note that on the line as well as my colleague Vivian Wong for NRDC. We appreciate Your Honor's patience as the parties have negotiated a settlement, and we thank the court for its close attention over the past 2 years to this matter of international importance. Congress passed the Marine Mammal Protection Act in response to public outcry over marine mammal deaths from commercial fishing in U.S. and foreign waters. The overarching purpose of the act remains to ensure that marine mammals are, quote, protected and encouraged to develop to the greatest extent feasible, end quote. The small vaquita porpoise is the world's most endangered marine mammal, and the Mexican government continues to lack a regulatory program that meets U.S. standards for preventing the incidental bycatch of vaquita in fishing gear. Entanglement and drowning, as this court noted, in gillnets is the leading cause of vaquita mortality. In March, the United States acted under Section 101A2 of the Marine Mammal Protection Act to embargo several Mexican gillnet fisheries in the Northern Gulf of California. In effect, that action will continue the embargo implemented in response to the court's preliminary injunction and expand that embargo to include several additional gillnet caught fisheries. This action will increase the incentive for Mexico to take greater regulatory and enforcement measures to protect the species and, we hope, to avoid extinction as Congress intended. As we noted in the joint status report filed on April 2nd, the government has now taken action under Section 101A2 of the Marine Mammal Protection Act to ban imports of shrimp, chano, sierra, curvina, and other fish from gillnet fisheries operating in the range of the vaquita. Accordingly, plaintiffs are requesting that the case be dismissed without prejudice. The court has a copy of our joint stipulation and proposed order. We thank the court again, and we would be happy to answer any questions the court has.
Thank you, Ms. Goodstefani. I have some questions about the state of the vaquita. One reads on occasion that there have been sightings of vaquita with calves, and one also reads that there's been a sighting of a vaquita strangled and seen dead in a gillnet. What is your sense? What is your understanding of the number of vaquitas who are still alive?
Well, Your Honor, as court's aware, they are a difficult species to spot in the wild. There have been a number of mostly acoustic surveys of late and some visual sightings. I believe the most recent two sightings have spotted live vaquita and also mother calf pairs. And so that suggests a slimmer of hope for the species as a whole. There's also been recent science, and Ms. Ullman, who's also on the line with me here, should feel free to correct me here or to add. But we do have visual surveys from 2019 showing in two separate instances vaquita still alive and within their range, a calf, my recollection as well is that there is recent science suggesting that their that their reproductive rate is relatively high. So while the outlook for the species as a whole is quite dire, and the estimates put that total population number somewhere in the ballpark of 10 to 15 individuals remaining, there are indications that the species could still survive with sufficient protection.
Could you give me a better understanding of the Totoaba, the illegal trade in Totoaba fish that are large fish caught?
Yes, Your Honor.
Gill nets and
So there is not at issue in this case also an illegal black market fishery for Totoaba, which is a large, highly prized fish, prized primarily for its fish bladder that unfortunately its range overlaps with the vaquita. And it is also quite large, about the size of a vaquita. And so the nets used by fishermen fishing illegally for the endangered Totoaba also are a threat to vaquita. Now, that is not a species that we sought an embargo on in this case, because it's it is already illegal to import the Totoaba. But there is, and that's certainly an additional problem. And as we've pointed out through the course of this litigation, one of the things we have sought is a ban on all gillnet fisheries within the range, because enforcement of the Totoaba ban and gillnet, the ban on any gillnet fishing for Totoaba, is complicated by the fact that illegal fisheries have continued within the vaquita's range that use gillnets. And we are hopeful that ultimately Mexico will adopt and enforce a full gillnet ban within the range of the vaquita.
What effect has the pandemic crisis had on the various surveillance crews which have been patrolling the Sea of Cortez in an effort to clamp down on the illegal Totoaba trade?
Could you want to repeat the first part of that question?
What effect has, if any, has the pandemic crisis had on the ability of the patrols to go out in the Sea of Cortez to monitor the and clamp down on the illegal Totoaba trade? There's some indication that crews have not been able to go out because of the pandemic virus.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm also aware of some news stories suggesting that Sea Shepherd has had to suspend its patrols to protect the Totoaba, I'm sorry, protect the vaquita and the Totoaba. Unfortunately, those patrols were somewhat limited prior to the pandemic as well, due to just sort of the general lawlessness within the region, threats to their safety. And so while they were operating, there were a number of incidents prior to the pandemic. I don't have direct knowledge of what the patrol situation is at this moment, but I've also seen the news stories Your Honor is alluding to, and it's all the more reason why it is a critical moment now for the U.S. to take really decisive action, and for the Mexican government as well to respond with increased enforcement and to enforce its gillnet ban, which it has unfortunately not been doing.
The court, of course, issued the preliminary injunction in July of 2018, And the four fisheries identified are also identified in the embargo as articulated in the Federal Register notice of March 2020. And the notice also includes, as you mentioned, other fisheries. So the embargo that the government is implementing now will actually be broader than the one that was originally effectuated. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor. And indeed, the embargo will include several non-gillnet fisheries that also operate within the Vaquitas range for which comparability findings were retracted. So in addition to including gillnet fisheries beyond the preliminary injunction, which plaintiffs sought, the embargo does have wide-reaching repercussions for the region.
The stipulation and proposed order requests dismissal under CIT Rule 41A2. Are you also requesting that the preliminary injunction be dissolved?
Yes, Your Honor. If this court agrees to grant the proposed order, the plaintiffs would agree that the preliminary injunction should be lifted.
And you've also requested that this court retain jurisdiction to ensure that the defendant's payment obligations under the party's agreement on attorney's fees and costs be complied with. Correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. And for specific questions, NRDC is not seeking fees, but for specific questions regarding that fee agreement, I would defer to my co-counsel, Sarah Ullman.
And I see that the it's your co-plaintiffs, Center for Biological Diversity and the American Welfare Institute, the Animal Welfare Institute, which will be receiving the attorney's fees.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And Ms. Good-Stefani, you've referenced that your hope is that there'd be a general prohibition against gillnets. What other actions might the government take, in your view, to protect the vaquita?
The Mexican government, Your Honor, just for clarity?
Both the United States government and the Mexican government.
Well, on the Mexican government side, it's been a combination of a lack of a regulatory program that meets U.S. standards for protecting the vaquita, which would include, among other things, a full gillnet ban that includes all of the fisheries that operate with gillnets. But in addition to that lack of regulatory program, and there were other pieces of that have been discussed throughout the course of this litigation, including a ban on night fishing, inspection and at certain entry and exit points on the water, a ban on the possession of gillnets in those port areas surrounding the Vaquitas range. But in addition to those sorts of and real-time monitoring of the vessels while they're in the water, the sort of regulatory program changes that we hope to see in Mexico, enforcement has always, unfortunately, been an issue there, too. And that is a place where that we believe there needs to be sort of increased resources by the Mexican government to ensure that the regulatory program is being enforced. And that includes Mexican Navy monitoring of the waters, perhaps a demarcation of the no-tolerance zone and enforcement in particular of that area. So there are a number of measures on the Mexican side that could be taken to improve the security and the chances of survival of the vaquita. On the U.S. government side, we are pleased with the embargo that the U.S. government and the change of course here has agreed to implement. It is, you know, our hope that that embargo will remain in place until we have the sort of regulatory program and enforcement, and it's been proven to be effective and the vaquita is fully protected.
I note that the proposed order requests that the action be dismissed without prejudice.
That's correct, Your Honor. We believe that's appropriate here. That is the default under the rule, and the court has not reached the merits of this case, and we'd like to retain the right, should the government take action to change course again, or if the embargo is lifted, to preserve our legal right to challenge such change of course.
Now, the regulation indicated that the embargo, which again mirrors the embargo issued by this court and which has been complied with by the government, and as we've discussed, is now going to be broader, was scheduled to become effective April 3rd. Is it in effect already? Has it been implemented? Or is it awaiting the court's decision here?
Your Honor, I respectfully defer questions as to the exact nature of the government's action and implementation of the embargo to Mr. Tosini. I will note that on March 20th, the Center for Border Protection published a cargo system messaging service notice regarding the implementation of the March 9th Federal Register notice, and that notice includes in the covered import the gillnet fisheries that have been at issue in this case, and it notes that they must be accompanied by a certificate of admissibility beginning on April 3rd, 2020. And also has further details about that enforcement, saying that the certificates have to be signed by a Mexican government official and submitted to Border Protection's automated commercial environment computer system prior to shipment arriving at the border, or they'll be refused entry. And so while I defer to the government as to the exact status and implementation of the embargo and would be interested in hearing how things are going, we do have indicators that the embargo is in place and is, and has gone into effect.
Thank you very much, Ms. Goodstefani, and your counsel on the line. Mr. Tosini, good afternoon.
Tosini for the government. And I'd like to begin by first thanking the court again for allowing us to complete the settlement process in this matter. We believe that fostered the just resolution of this matter. I'd also like to thank plaintiffs. We do, although we sometimes disagree, we do value their input and expertise. And I'd like to also agree with the plaintiffs regarding the scope of the import restrictions as they're stated in the Federal Register notice and the instructions that went out to customs brokers on March 20th.
Has the embargo been implemented?
I believe the instructions went out, so it's an overlapping implementation. So there'll be a seamless transition from once the injunction is lifted with the issuance of a judgment by the court. The one thing we certainly don't want is to have a gap in enforcement where restricted fish products might be allowed in lawfully. So, yes, we believe it's now supplementing the court's injunction, and will immediately become the legal basis for preventing entry of merchandise once the court lifts its injunction.
Thank you. Mr. Ticini, do you have any insights on the BABA illegal trade question?
Well, the insights that I do have is that the government takes trafficking in wildlife very seriously, and there have been a number of prosecutions for smuggling of Tatuaba. As counsel stated, there's demand in China for the swim bladder of the Tatuaba, and oftentimes those Tatuaba swim bladders are smuggled through the United States, and the Justice Department prosecutes those cases aggressively and has been doing so for the last decade, and we will continue to be extremely vigilant in enforcing the law.
Thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to state for the record?
Nothing more for the government, Your Honor. Thank you.
And you would also agree that the preliminary injunction should be lifted if the court authorizes the proposed order of voluntary dismissal?
Yes, Your Honor, and by the plain language of the injunction, it would dissolve with the issuance of a final judgment by the court. We believe now with the issuance of the Federal Register notice, the case is moot because the import restrictions are more expansive than those called for in the court's injunction.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ticini. Does anybody else on the line wish to make a statement? Yes, not? Well, thanks. This has been, as referenced, a long and torturous road, and throughout, counsel for the plaintiffs and for the government have been nothing but professional and first rate, and the court is most appreciative of that dedication. I will take under advisement after this hearing the stipulation and proposed order of voluntary dismissal. It is my hope that an opinion and order will be issued tomorrow, so check the website. And for your own information, these proceedings have been audio recorded, and the audio recording of this hearing will also be available on the website generally about an hour and a half after the conclusion of the argument for those who are interested, so probably around 2 o'clock or so. You can go to the Court of International Trade website and access the recording. That concludes our session. I hope you are all safe and well. Thank you very much for appearing today. Be well, be safe. The session is adjourned.
Okay, thank you. We're adjourned.